listening to Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO on this Thursday, December the 17th in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is our good friend who's with me normally on Rumination Thursdays, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hello, Wes.
Hello, Pastor Baker.
Oh, your voice sounds better.
I'm getting along.
That's good. Well, we want people to get along, especially if they're married.
You know, one thing about having an illness is people wait on you hand and foot.
Only if you have a wife. I tell you, my daughter has made it very clear that if anything happens to Louise, I can forget about going over to her house to live.
Wives are precious.
Oh, yeah, they sure are. All right. We have a really interesting subject today, something I have not talked about for 18 years. We've always talked about in regard to law and gospel, but the law is not a means of grace. You can speak law all day long and nobody's going to be saved because the law are the demands of God. And if preached properly, there's two results. Number one, you discover you can't obey the law perfectly. And number two, you begin to hate God. And it's at that point then you give the gospel. Well, the new insight that I came up with after doing the readings from last Sunday is that doctrine in and of itself is not also a means of grace. And in talking to you, you had some pretty good ideas. Do you want to expand on that a bit?
Well, yes, you know, we talked about that the other day, and what really came to mind was my days early at the seminary prior to just going out on my vicarage. My supervisor or my counselor at that time for the school was a guy by the name of Harry Huth. And as you well know, Harry Huth was taught the Lutheran Confessions there at the seminary.
Yes.
And very, very well respected within our Lutheran circles. And we had to go through an interview process with our counselor before, as advisor, before we went out onto Vicarage. And he only asked one question. He says, how would you witness? And I would say, the Lutheran Confession. He'd look at me, he'd go, no. I said, how about the Word of God? He looked at me and he goes, no. And he says, you know, he says, that's the common mistake, he said, most young seminarians make. He says, it's Jesus. You talk about Jesus because that's the only thing that brings them to faith.
Yeah, I bet that really surprised you. You spent most of the seminary realizing and learning that the Lutheran Confessions are an accurate summary of the Word of God, and then a professor tells you, no, that's not really the primary subject of a sermon. And
right.
You're saying, what? And I'll tell you why. Most people are familiar with the Apostles' Creed.
Right.
You can go through the whole Apostles' Creed, and about the closest you get to what is the means of grace, namely the gospel, is when it talks about the forgiveness of sins. But up to there, it's talking about historical events in the life of Jesus, being conceived and born and suffering. And those historical events, if that's what your whole sermon is, boy, that's not preaching the gospel. It's really talking about what we refer to as historic faith, not saving faith.
Yeah, and probably you would add to that it's more like a lecture, a Bible class.
Well said.
But it really doesn't get to the heart of the matter. You know, Romans 10:17, it says faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Yes, I've often said the difference between a Bible study and a sermon. A Bible study is talking about the doctrines of the Bible and helping you understand a verse. I compare it to being in a classroom with a physician teaching you how to do open heart surgery, and he's drawing things on the board or the overhead or whatever. Whereas a sermon is actually undergoing open heart surgery. So we use the doctrines to show that we are indeed poor, miserable sinner. And then we use the doctrines to talk about the gospel, which is a subset of doctrine. And that is, what did Jesus do for you?
You're right. And I probably the number one thing that I hear from people coming out of their churches, Lutheran and otherwise, is if they hear a Bible study or a lecture from the pulpit, they feel dissatisfied. They don't feel filled. They don't feel taken care of. Because really, when they come to church, they have a fairly good understanding of their sinfulness. And they want to hear. They want to hear that they're forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, and a lot of times there are churches where all they do hear are doctrinal kinds of things. Now, can you imagine being in one of these evangelical sermons where every week they're talking about the rapture, which not only is not part of the Bible, but it's not gospel at all?
Well, or there was one that they were going to spend the Advent season talking about Mother Earth and how we got to be good stewards of Mother Earth.
Well, that's a proper subject, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
No, I was listening, and the gentleman said, yes, for this season, we're going to do sermons on the apostles. And he spent the whole sermon talking about Peter, who he was, his mistakes, this kind of thing. And I can't hardly remember. Well, no, the cross and the resurrection wasn't mentioned at all.
Ooh, yeah, because if nothing else, he would have gotten into the latter part after Jesus' resurrection, where Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?"
Yes, feed my sheep. Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like going to a doctor and you've got headaches, and he spends the entire time not examining you and giving you medicine, but telling you about the latest discoveries they made in South America, how certain plants can, you know, get rid of arthritis and this sort of thing. And here you're sitting there with a headache, and you're not being fed, you're not being nurtured, you're not being comforted. That's a lot of times what happens in sermons that are either legalistic, giving you the impression that the more behavior you had that is good, the more blessings you get, or giving you the impression that, boy, once you know this doctrine, you're in better shape.
Oh, yeah. I mean, or the corollary, so to speak, of that is you spend 15, 20 minutes telling you why you got a headache and what caused your headache, but you're never given any medicine to take care of it.
Well said. Well said. Now, the reason we're talking specifically today in a Bible study I just recently gave, one of the participants, she said, you know, it's really hard to witness because even though I love your Bible studies and we learn a lot of insights, I can't remember all those. So how am I supposed to be able to witness? Now, before I tell you what I said to her, I do want to remind you that here at the International Center, we have a gentleman, the Reverend Mark Wood, and you can listen to him every Wednesday morning at 8:45 a.m. on Andy Bates' program. And what he does is he talks about how to witness, and he refers to LASSI. And what that means is you just take the letters in LASSI, which means listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage. So Reverend Mark Wood, director of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Witness and Outreach, has done some real good work in analyzing what a proper evangelism is. So if you want more information on that, I would indicate to you that that's where you ought to go to hear that. Plus, you could go right now to the website, because he does have a website, and you can go to its lcms.org/witness-outreach. lcms.org/witness, and then that little line in between. outreach, and you can learn about that. But what I want to talk about, from a law gospel point of view, here's my answer to her. I said, you know, it is wonderful that you're learning these details about doctrine as we go through the various Bible passages. And then I said to her, but you know, you can tell all these details and an unbeliever won't be helped at all, because what the Holy Spirit uses is the gospel. And therefore, and I said this in a sermon last Sunday, I said, when you witness to somebody, don't tell them your personal testimony, like this is what Jesus means to me. Instead, tell them what Jesus did for them.
Exactly.
In fact, what are the big words that you want to emphasize in the Lord's Supper? It's two of them.
For you.
Very good. See, this is where the gospel is. So you can say Jesus, like the Apostles' Creed, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Now, what you do in a sermon is you take those historical events and show how they are for you. That's what makes it into a sermon.
You know, in the Bible, it's chock full of those stories where it shows it's for you. You know, when we were discussing it, one of the stories that came to mind was the centurion in Capernaum in Luke 7.
Yes.
He wanted his servant healed.
Yep.
But there's a short verse in there that I think really tells it all. And when he had heard about Jesus.
Yes.
You know, he gets all these reports, and I believe he came to faith as he was hearing these stories about Jesus and the healings and the miracles and the various things that he did. And for instance, if you read in Mark chapter 1, after the healing of the demonic from the synagogue there in Capernaum, he goes to his mother-in-law's house, or Peter's house, heals his mother-in-law, and all of the people brought the sick and the disease
yeah.
in Capernaum. Those are all reports that go back to the centurion. He hears about the various things, the very sort of thing that we talked about in our gospel lesson for last Sunday when Jesus answers John the Baptist.
Yeah, he doesn't use doctrine when they ask him, are you the Messiah, the one we're waiting for? He uses deeds he has done, the blind see, the deaf hear, etc. So my point to the lady in the Bible class was, the way you witness is you simply ask them a question where they're doubting about their future salvation. Like, for example, you may say, well, I know you believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus yet, but do you think you are going to heaven? And either people say, yeah, I'm good enough to go to heaven, or no, I'm sure failing. Either way, then, you say, well, I have the assurance that I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and he forgave them. And what you do, you get back to an action that Jesus did on the cross, the empty tomb, the ascension, Pentecost baptism, and the Holy Spirit can take those words, because they're gospel for you, and he can create faith.
Very well done. Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah, how about John chapter 1 with Philip and Nathaniel?
Where Philip goes to Nathaniel, what good can come out of Nazareth?
Right. You know, he says, we found Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
The law and the prophets talk about, which was very doctrinal in a sense. And Nathaniel, of course, answers, can any good come out of Nazareth?
And then when Jesus sees him, what does he say?
Well, even before that, what's Philip's reply? Come and see.
Yes, right. Come and see.
He takes him to Jesus, and then Jesus, of course, says, Nathanael, I saw you under the tree, in whom the person in whom there is no guile.
And this is almost a comedy. and he looks at Jesus, wow, you must be the Messiah, knowing me the way you do. I mean,
it wasn't doctrine that Philip.
No, right.
You know, You just very simply took him by the hand. And sometimes it may be as simple as that, you know. Can be the witness that you talked about. It can be that we'll pick you up, bring you to church.
Well, the only difference I would make in what you said is we can't tell people, come and see Jesus, but we can say to them, come and hear Jesus.
Well, we see him in baptism.
Well, we really don't see Jesus.
Right.
But we see his works. But that takes belief.
Right.
And that's why simply saying, well, we baptize infants is not the gospel. Because an unbeliever has no idea what you're saying there.
Right, that I would agree with you.
Yeah, what you need to do is explain these events from a gospel point of view. And the best way to do it is keep in mind that after you're finished, you want to make sure that the person to whom you are speaking has heard very clearly that this is for you, even as an unbeliever.
Very right to the point. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ.
It's not necessary to know all the doctrines of Scripture. And I showed that in the Bible study. I said, Adam and Eve didn't know that Jesus was going to die on a cross. They didn't know he was going to be whipped. That didn't come about till Psalm 22, where David talked about pierced in hands and feet, or Isaiah 53, that he was going to be whipped. But Isaiah 53 moves from historical events to the gospel. Remember what it says? That the Lord has laid on him
the iniquity of us all.
That is tremendous gospel. That Jesus, as Paul later says, became sin for us. So you can find a lot about Jesus in the Old Testament books. And the New Testament books are those that show the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus did fulfill.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. I mean, you think in John 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and we get that famous passage, God so loved the world that he gave his
yes.
one and only son.
Yeah, there's gospel that whoever believes in him shall not perish. And then remember right before that verse, what John does, he goes back to the Old Testament and reminds him of something that happened in the wilderness, that Moses...
Sure. It was that serpent that was raised up on that stick.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also the Son of Man shall be lifted up. Now see, that's doctrine, but it's still not gospel. Because you've got to explain that what was the good of lifting up a bronze serpent on a pole? Because God made a promise. Anyone who would look to it would be healed of those serpent bites. In the same way, anyone who looks to Jesus, who hears his word, who becomes one of his sheep, they're healed of the greatest disease we have, which is sinfulness.
Sinfulness. And as I hear you talk, I can remember those that I would sit down. Sometimes it would take a year, 2 years before it would all click in. Others, it would take a shorter period of time. But you could just see the weight be lifted off when they begin to realize, you know, as they trust in the promises of God, that their sins are forgiven.
Yes, I'm going to be having a webinar, probably be getting people signed up this month yet, starting early in 2016. And what it's going to be about is how to do Bible studies and sermons. But one of the points I'm going to make for pastors who do sermons, especially if they have a transcript of their sermon, there's two things I want them to look through their sermon. I want to have them underline something that the people have never heard before. And if there are no underlinings there, then that's a problem. The second thing is they need to underline every statement that is a clear gospel for you statement. And if there are none there, guess what? It's not a sermon. It's a lecture.
That's right. You know, probably a good place for us to look is in Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, when Peter talks to them about the death, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
Well, remember their reaction when he finished the sermon? It says they were cut
cut to the heart.
Yes. And that's the purpose of the law, to get people so depressed at their way of salvation, they'll look at you and say, well, what can we do? And then the answer is something they don't do. Because he says, be baptized, which is a passive, which means that's something that's going to happen to them from God. And guess what? Through that, he's going to give two gifts, the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the
Holy Spirit.
Well said. Yeah. Yes. So it isn't difficult to witness. But when somebody you're witnessing to begins to ask questions, then you say, well, look, we've got these Bible studies during the week. I'll be glad to take you to one of them, or you can come Sunday morning, or I can even set up a meeting with the pastor, because I'm not that well trained in explaining the gospel on a doctrinal level. But boy, when I attend these Bible studies, it really helps me. And then you invite them to go where there is a learned theologian, particularly one who knows how to divide law and gospel.
Very well. It reminds me of a member I had in one of my parishes where he'd always come and get catechisms from me.
Really?
Yeah, he'd get catechism after catechism. And finally, I asked him one day, I said, well, what are you doing with all of these?
Yes.
He says, well, you know where I work. I go, yeah. So they'd come and ask me questions because they said, you're a Christian. We got questions. And he'd answer them. And they said, man, how can you give me all those answers? He says, well, I've got a book I can give you that's got all those answers plus more.
Yes.
The questions that you ask. And he would take them a catechism, and he would slowly bring them into the faith that way and then to the pastor's class.
Yeah, Luther's small catechism is only a few pages long. His large catechism is quite a bit longer and has some great insights in it. But what you're speaking of is what we refer to as the Enchiridion, which is part of our catechism books that have a whole bunch of questions based on Luther's catechism. And there you do find the gospel a lot. Just take a look at the second article.
Article, you bet.
Yeah, I cannot, or the third article, I cannot by my own reason or strength come to the Lord Jesus or believe in him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the
gospel.
Yes. And that's why when Harry Huth said to you, well, no, it's not the confessions, it's not the word of God, because the word of God includes law, gospel, and doctrine.
That's right.
Now, yes, the gospel is part of doctrine, but I'm talking about what I said yesterday. There is a kind of a dead orthodoxy that sometimes can be preached. In other words, you preach that Jesus is both God and man, and the whole sermon has lots of verses to prove that, but there's no application for the people in the pew. So what? We believe it's two natures. I call that today's dead orthodoxy.
And you're right. People want to hear that they are forgiven in their Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. It's not that they forget it, but it's kind of like your wife comes up to you and she says, you know, you haven't said I love you for a while. And you look at her and say, well, I said it at the wedding. What more do you want?
So mine's in the last 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah. So by saying those things, it's not that you're changing your mind or anything. It's just that you're saying it again and again. And witnessing, it is necessary in every sermon to put the people to death with the law and then bring him back to life with the gospel, so that what is the reaction you want from them? They'll say, boy, I not only learned something, but I was comforted.
Yep.
That's the goal of every sermon, not to increase their intelligence, but to increase their comfort. And that's pretty easy during Advent, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Just take them to Jesus.
Yep, and I'll be taking Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet to hear Jesus Saturday at 5 o'clock, and then Sunday at 8 and 10:30, Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, 9733 Olive Boulevard. I know you're kind of still recovering from a little illness. You don't have anything set up for preaching yet this season, right?
No, I've taken it off. I'm also on call for a couple pastors.
Yes.
You know, with some babies, their wives are due, and things of that nature. So.
All righty. Well, look, thank you very much for being on the air, Wes. Tomorrow, we are going to open up the phone lines because you may have some questions. In fact, I saw some calls coming in, but we weren't taking calls today. So till tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.